One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said, "What will you give me if I betray him to you?" They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that moment he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, "Where do you want us to make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?" He said, "Go into the city to a certain man and say to him, 'The teacher says, my time is near. I will keep the Passover at your house with my disciples.'" So the disciples did as Jesus had directed them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, he took his place with the 12. And while they were eating, he said, "Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me." And they became greatly distressed and began to say to him, to one another, "Surely not I, Lord." He answered, "The one who has dipped his hand into the bowl with me will betray me. The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one if he had not been born." Judas, who betrayed him, said, "Surely not I, Rabbi." He replied, "You have said so." This gospel for today is a really long one that encompasses the entire chapter, and we're abbreviating it some. But on Maundy Thursday, we'll remember that while they were eating, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will never again drink of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Now at noon on Good Friday, we'll remember the crucifixion, death, and burial of Jesus. It'll be available on Zoom and Facebook and on radio station KBBS. But for today, this is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. The first words out of the mouth of our three-year-old when we came back from a shopping trip was, "Hi, Mom. We're not going to tell you what we have for a surprise for your birthday." Well, the beans were spilled and Mom had to pretend to be surprised later on. It's kind of like our celebration of Holy Week, isn't it? We've heard the story so many times. We know the story. We've been there. We know the rest of the story. Easter is coming, and we know what's going to happen on Easter. And still, we kind of drag ourselves through this Holy Week. There have been predictions, but they were just predictions, right? Or were they? Were they more? Well, time will tell. And oh yes, I know, you've read the book too, and you've seen the ending. So, can we pretend that we don't know? There's a movie that I enjoy at this time of year normally. It's called Jesus of Nazareth. It's well done. And there is a point at which in the movie in which I get really upset. And there's a part of me that wants to change the story. It's the time when Jesus has just finished serving the Last Supper to the disciples, and he's inviting them to join him at the Garden of Gethsemane. And a part of me is crying, "Don't go, Jesus, don't go. I read the story, I know what they're going to do to you, don't go." Yeah, theologically, I know that it's important that he does go, and he does. He doesn't particularly listen to me at that point in the movie. It never changes. It always goes that way. Today, we get to join the parade. Palms and all. Well, we don't have many palms today. Our palms did not arrive. There are two types of observers that we have in a parade. There are the tag-alongs, the spectators, who just love parades. Any parade will do. They're there hoping that they can get maybe some of the candy or the trinkets that are thrown out by the people in the parade. But that's all they want. They're there for the fun of it. But there are also the true followers. In today's gospel, the true followers gave what they had. They gave him the use of their donkey. Now, it wasn't a pickup or a tractor or a fire truck. It was just an ordinary donkey. But then, of course, the only thing Jesus ever rode on was a boat that we know of. But these people, these true followers, paved his way with palm branches and laying their cloaks so that it would settle the dust, and with cheers, Hosanna in the highest. Isn't it interesting how God can use whatever we give him? Noah built him a boat, and he used that boat to save humankind. Moses offered his staff, which parted the Red Sea and brought water from a rock when the people were dying of thirst. David used a slingshot to put down the mighty Goliath. The widow of Zarephath gave her last oil and meal so that the prophet would have something to eat. The widow, in another story, gave her last mite. And a young boy offered his picnic lunch, a few loaves of bread and some fish, so that thousands could be fed. Now there's a difference between the tag-along and the spectator and the true believer. The spectator gives fearfully and selfishly. Remember the study I mentioned last week that showed that those who gave generously had healthier immune systems? In a time like this, we could use that. The true believer is prepared for the journey. They know it all belongs to God in the first place, and so they give thankfully. In a book by Max Lucado entitled On the Anvil, Stories of Being Shaped into God's Image, he talks about a blacksmith and how people fit into three categories with the blacksmith's tools. There is that pile of outdated, dull, rusty, broken tools that just lie there waiting to be thrown away. And then there are those that are on the anvil that have been heated in the forge. And they're being hammered and reshaped and recreated. It's a painful process, but they willingly go through that process to be changed into what the blacksmith wants them to be. And then there are the blacksmith's favorite tools, those that have been through the fire of the forge. They have been seasoned, and they have become part of what the blacksmith, the master, wants them to be, to serve in his workshop. Just as God sometimes allows us to go through those different things. On our Lenten journey this Holy Week, we will hear the predictions. We've already heard many of them in the weeks of Holy Week, of Lent, rather. We've joined the parade, and now we peek at the next chapter, and we know what's going to happen. And there may be part of us, too, saying, Jesus, don't go there. But Jesus must go there. And the scriptures have spilled the beans. We know the good news on the other side of Easter. May we be more than spectators and tag-alongs. May we become the master's favorite tools. On Facebook, and I'm going to try to pull this up because, come on now. Here we go. If it comes up on the wrong one, there we go. On Facebook, I received something just the other day that I thought was really rather interesting. It talked about the number 40. Every time I have a Bible class, it seems like we talk about the importance of certain numbers in the Bible. And the number 40 is really significant. There are 40 days of Lent, and there are reasons for it. There were 40 days of the flood. There were 40 days that the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness before they could enter the promised land. There are 40 days of fasting in the desert where Jesus was tempted. 40 days of appearances of Jesus after his crucifixion and resurrection, before his ascension. There are 40 days of isolation, quarantine that have been called for by many in many areas. 40 weeks of gestation before a baby is born, and the number 40 in the Bible always refers to change, because every time it appears in the Bible, there is a major change taking place. The question that is raised in this particular article is, will something happen after these 40 days of quarantine? Already, they are saying their rivers are cleaning up, vegetation is growing, air is cleaner due to less pollution, the starry sky in the evening is visible even where it is covered with pollution. There are fewer thefts and fewer murders. Maybe there is something to this 40 days. The earth is on rest for the first time in many years. I think I would like to have us take advantage of those days. Because in the Bible, the number 40 always appears to be bringing about a change. So if we are in quarantine, let's enjoy it with the family. Could be a great blessing, and we will be able to see the changes God has made in our lives. If we add, this was something I thought rather funny, this is 2020, if you add 20 plus 20, you get 40. We could let that be God wanting us to take part in the changes he's taking into account. Another interesting thing is the word quarantine comes from Italian, and it literally means a period of 40 days. If it lasts 40 days, is God trying to change us? Well, that's a good question. So, a wise old preacher asked a student, "What are your plans in the future?" The student said, "Well, I'm going to law school." "Well," he said, "what then?" "I'm going to get married, have a family, and practice law." "Well, what then?" "Well, I want to make lots of money, retire early, and travel around the world." The pastor asked, "Well, what then?" The man said, "Well, that's it. That's all there is." And he was told, "Your plans are too small. Make plans big enough to include God and large enough to include eternity. May our Lenten journey prepare us to travel with Jesus through the cross and the empty grave into eternity. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds." in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We'll sing.